Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I want to welcome you to the next phase with Ice and Friends. And I want to give you this number starting out. The number to give us a call is 347-945-7040. And I'd like to always read them a little disclaimer if at all possible. Don't have any guests scheduled today, so if you have a chance, give us a call. And the number to call us at is 347-945-7040. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or beliefs or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. This show is actually designed to address community concerns in regard to designing ways members and communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others, combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, hopefully. And there will be, at some point in time in the future, musical segments, interesting guests. We've had some prior to tonight. But we'll have interesting guests as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, especially STEM, and I'm talking, this is a cultural thing, and I want to make sure that everyone realizes that this is not anti-white or any other group. This is pro-black. And what we do is we try to address issues specifically that have an impact or some influence on our community positively as well as adversely, and we try to find solutions to the problems that we're encountering. But anyway, if you have any interest in improving the situation for our youth, including stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge and improving your health, as well as many other pertinent topics, too numerous to include, I'd like to invite you to join us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And I'll check the chat room and see if we have, I got a guest, 2924, I'm not sure who that is, but if you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so, 347-945-7040. And this is, I think, the fifth show, and I'm just tremendously delighted that I have this opportunity. And some of the issues that came up this week will revolve around the spill there in the Gulf Coast in Louisiana, and some of the negative comments that I've heard from the press in regard to the President of the United States and his handling of those events. And really, I'd like to look at corporate media. To some degree, and if any of these topics strike your fancy, you can give us a call right here at 347-945-7040, and I'll be checking back and forth on the switchboard to see if we have any callers, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you. And I want to, like I say again, welcome you. And hopefully everyone comes to realize that any individuals in our communities that have an opportunity to improve themselves improves the entire community. And that's what we're all about, is improving our community. And we can't, we have situations where we have problems with with the news media that, to my idea, doesn't give us a fair representation. And in those cases, I've gathered up with friends of mine and in different chat rooms on different chat sites, and we have discussions, and sometimes they turn into pretty heated confrontations or arguments verbally. And this is when you're speaking with people, whichever chat service that you use, people are all over the world, and especially all over the United States and all over the world, and each person has an opinion as to what goes on here in the U.S., and of course the people in the U.S. have an opinion as to what goes on in other countries. And, you know, my opinion is that some information that we have as, you know, common, ordinary, everyday people, I'm not intimidated necessarily by the press. I'm not intimidated by that corporate media. And so I'm really grateful that Blog Talk Radio allows us to express our opinions and views as we see fit in regard to some of these different issues. Like, there was an incident that occurred in Seattle, Washington this week, and I'm just jumping around. So if you find anything that strikes your fancy, give us a call, and we'll be checking back to the switchboard, the phone lines, and we'll try to get you on. But 347-945-7040. And that particular incident, it involved a young lady, for whatever reason, who, you know, had some involvement with law enforcement. And I say law enforcement. My opinion of the police and that community is that, for some reason, police seem that they serve and protect white people, and they enforce the law on black people. Because, you know, if you saw that incident, I don't know if you did, and if I can find the site, I might post it in the room, and you might get a chance to visit the room. But where the policeman actually, he slugged this young lady, 17-year-old woman, in the face with his fist. Now, you know, if you reverse that situation, and you make that, even with Cynthia McKinney, for instance, she just hit a guy in the chest with a phone or whatever, a big old dude, probably had on a bulletproof vest, and she got berated for her actions. And then when you see this guy, I don't know how big he was, but he was a you know, all decked out in his pistol and his mace and his blackjack or whatever, you know, those implements are that they carry. And this young lady, I mean, she 17 years old. You know, I got a granddaughter that's 16 years old. And I had some discussion with some friends of mine, and neither of us really could imagine what it would be like had that been one of our relatives. That was actually what I would consider to be assaulted by the police department. And that individual, that young lady, then I think was arrested and taken to jail, which she may have been, who's to say, you know, based on the film that we saw, she may have been out of place. But my question is, was that the only way that situation could have been handled? If it wasn't, then I, you know, I would have to agree with that police officer. But if there was any other way that he could have, you know, lowered the anxiety, and as a matter of fact, I think he's been reassigned, and as I understand it from some of the things that I've read, that he's also going to receive some more extensive training in regard to probably dealing with the public. But, you know, if that was the only way to resolve that issue, then you would have to side with that policeman. But when you know, take under consideration that maybe, what, a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, there was a situation with a Hispanic American person in Seattle, Washington, who was, you know, handcuffed by the police, laid, I think, face down on the ground, and he was kicked, and he was berated, you know, verbally, you know, slurs made directed toward him, and so forth. And you know, my thought is, what is going on in Seattle? But Seattle is just a representation of what's going on around the world, around the U.S., especially if you happen to be of African descent. You know, Abner Luema, Sean Bell, Diallo, I mean, you know, these incidents may be a little bit sporadic, but they nonetheless continue to occur. And the only ones that we know about are the ones that have been recorded, you know, fortunately, so that we can have some discussion about it. And I wish I had read more thoroughly about this particular incident, because I think there are some community groups there in Seattle, and maybe in the future, here in the next couple weeks, I'll get a chance to get more in depth with this, and maybe I can contact some community leaders there in Seattle and ask them if they wouldn't mind giving us a chance to have a conversation about this particular issue, this issue. Because that's, you know, what I consider to be in the north. I live in the south, and I'm down here in Texas. And I've known things like this occurring. I'm almost 60 years old, and I've known things like this occurring all my life. And the thing that really disturbs me more than anything anymore is that I have children and grandchildren that are going to be subject to this. When I say subject to this, what I mean is if this officer had to be reassigned and retrained, you know, if you think about it, why was he ever placed out on the beat if they didn't think that his training was sufficient, that he could perform his duties without incident? And, you know, what you I think run into is you run into situations where you have people who represent the police department or whatever. And these guys, just because, you know, they come from a different background. And they don't see every citizen as being a citizen that they can respect and appreciate, in my opinion. And some citizens, I think, hey, Denisha, how you doing? Denisha, give me a call if you choose to. 347-945-7040. 347-945-7040. And right now I'm just talking about this incident that occurred with the police up in Seattle, Washington. And I know, you know, that there are a lot of people that probably be unhappy with me and what I'm saying about the police department, and by no means am I suggesting that every policeman is the same. But what I do submit for your consideration is that that there shouldn't have been an incident with a 17-year-old and an adult policeman. I mean, not in to me in that context. And for him to have, you know, assaulted that young lady, you know, there needs to be not only his reassignment and his training reviewed or whatever, you know, there to me should be some involvement with the community to suggest that, you know, to have the parents and have the community become comfortable with the idea, you know, not kowtowing. But, you know, there was an incident with that Gates, the where they had the beer summit with Obama. I mean, these incidents are continuing to occur. And so if you have any ideas to what could be done to change the course of these events, you know, please feel free to give us a call, 347-945-7040. That's a couple. One was the situation in the Gulf with the oil spill. The second one was this incident with the police department, and I have another issue that I'd like to discuss with you. And what that issue revolves around is I think there was Miss Obadiah gave me this article, and I don't want to say for the past guests like. I think one of my first guests was Ladies Down South, and I think my second guest was Platinum One Love for You, and my third guest was Black Magic Woman, and my fourth guest was Brother Legacy for Life, And then my fifth guest was Honey Drip Peach. Or, whoops, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, a young lady who is a published author, and she's a very interesting, entertaining, inspiring, motivational type individual. And I think she does have some motivational presentations, and she has a site. And we'll try, hopefully she'll drop through today sometimes. She told me that she might get a chance to come through. And if she does, then we'll give her a chance to give you, her site actually is www.beneaththecrust.com, beneaththecrust.com. And she is a published author, so a writer. So you might take a look at her site. And so I'd like to thank all those individuals who were involved with the program. And like I said, this is the fifth week, and we'll be striving to make improvements and in the future. But right now, let me address another issue. That lady Obadiah gave me this article, and it was quite an interesting article. And it came by way of Black Voices, called BV, Black Voices, Black Spin. I was going to use that Black Spin, but it's already in use, so I have to come up with something different. And what actually the concept of Black Spin would be is I have some friends who are white or Anglo, and they are some of the most wonderful people that I've ever met. And what they do is they understand where I'm coming from with what I'm trying to do is to provide some encouragement and hopefully some information and entertainment for the people in our segment of society. Because if you look on the media daily, you see a continuous diet of Anglo perspectives. And there is a definite deficiency, in my opinion, for any perspective from the people of African descent here in America. We are Americans. You know, we don't have an embassy because we're not from Korea. We're not from Japan. We're not from China. We're not from Mexico. We're not from Poland. We're not from any other country. We're from right here, right under your very nose. And we don't have, you know, a lot of opportunity. And, you know, a lot of people that we, you know, I hear say, "Are you playing a race card? Are you whining?" Well, you know, you're welcome to whine here, and you're welcome to play the race card. I play the cards that were dealt to me. And if people don't like it, I understand. There are, 3,000 other programs on Blog Talk Radio. But anyway, I will talk about this. It says Nashville Middle School suspends 50% of black boys. And this article was June the 3rd, 2010. And what this article talks about is again, let me state the title again so you'll have an idea. Nashville Middle Schools suspend 50% of black boys. All right, so now I'll go into the article. It says it's tough to be a black boy in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, when I hear that term, black boy, for instance, I have a real visceral reaction to it. And the reason is that these guys are black Americans. And I think that that sometimes escapes people's consciousness. Americans, you see, but you know, you can kind of dismiss that when you say blacks. You know, you really, and so what you do, in my opinion, is when you say whites, you just automatically assume that they deserve the full range of citizenship, you know, their full range of citizenship. And I've had people tell me, you know, they say, "Well, dude, you know, don't you think things are better than they used to be?" And I look at them and I go, you know, these are mostly, and when I say white, there are two different types of white people that I know of. One is white by color, and they understand it's incidental, not anything that provides them with any superiority complex or anything like that, or conscientious attitude or arrogance or anything. And then there are those people who feel white by concept, which is to say their opinion is the only one that should be considered, and yours should be not considered. Yours should be a second rate, and you should be subordinate. You know, so I don't adhere to that philosophy at all. But anyway, you know, when you think about it, these guys, you know, they some of the guys, they say, like I said, they say, you know, you playing a race card. They say, no, you're not playing a race card. You know, they say, isn't it better than it used to be? And I'm like, how good should it be? How good is it for you? You know, well, you know, it's better. How good is it for you? You instantaneously receive the full benefit of the Constitution of the United States. And you want me to accept it piecemeal and incrementally, and then you give me your definition of how I should feel about that? Don't think so. Anyway, moving right along, it says, it's tough to be a black boy in Nashville, Tennessee. Nine middle schools there have suspended half of their black male students at some point, more often than any other group. One school suspended 58% of its black male students, but just 10% of its white male students. Another suspended 58% of black boys, but only 13% of white boys. So you see, this is not like a pipe dream that I'm talking about. This is actually a reality, you know. And I'm not here, and I'm definitely not going to defend any position other than, in my opinion, the right position. On the elementary school level, six schools suspended only black males, even though four of those schools have a mixed black and white population. In Tennessee, black kids are four times more likely to be suspended than other students. And the problem is not unique to Nashville. Nationally, black kids are suspended three times more often than whites. You know, that's a terrible track record, this attorney Larry Woods, who is suing the school system over inadequate textbooks and resources, told WSMV-TV in Nashville. I think the entire community is going to be shocked and surprised at these numbers. These aren't the occasional black kid or bad seed. They're suspending more than half of their minority students. The numbers are alarming. And speak of the racial bias. See, I don't adhere to the word racial either. This is not about race. We are human beings, so this is a color thing. And this shows you how psychotic some people are to have a preference about color. It's like me saying to you, you're wearing that red shirt. I don't like you. I can't stand red. That's how psychotic this is. They want to try to raise it to some scientific level by trying to determine that it's a racial thing, like it, you know, has some anthropological significance or something. Anyway, the numbers are alarming and speak of the racial bias that black males face from an early age. You see, I have a grandson that just turned 4 years old. My oldest grandson just turned 18 and graduated from high school. So you see, this is how relevant this is. You know, it's like Dandy Don said, the difference between ham and eggs, you know, is that the chicken is involved, but the hog is committed. And so, you know, a lot of these Anglos that give me their opinion, they're involved. But you see, when my grandson and my kids are on the line, I'm committed. And these guys, to me, should be as fair and want the same thing for my children as they want for theirs. But obviously they don't. And I understand. I understand that. It says the numbers are alarming and speak of the racial bias that black males face from an early age. I'm sure some of the suspensions were justified, which, you know, we all can understand that. But the disparity shows that something's wrong. It's impossible for black boys to cause all the problems in schools that is what they consider to be racially mixed. See, the treatment that some black males receive in school only conditions them to future stigmatization and negative behaviors. The practice of treating black male students more harshly for behavioral problems is the first step for the school to prison pipeline. See, that's the whole key that you need to understand. This is the first step, And this is inherent. This philosophy is innate with a lot of Anglo people in a lot of social environments. But anyway, the trend of dealing with our children as criminals as opposed to the still developing potential field young people they are, that they are, you know, that let me read that sentence again. The practice of treating black male students more harshly for behavioral problems is the first step for the school-to-prison pipeline. The trend of dealing with our children as criminals as opposed to the still-developing potential field young people that they are. All right? These students are being treated like criminals at an early age. Black students are more likely to be arrested for acting out in class. There is less tolerance for activities that would have been dealt with in a house or with in-house a generation ago. It is akin to the way in which black males are sometimes judged more harshly when it comes to the criminal justice system and job opportunities. Suspending these students from school denies them the opportunity to be educated. Not to, I want to interject here that not only the suspension, denies them the opportunity to be educated. You know, it has a certain demoralizing and stigmatizing effect, and it really has an ability to attack a person's self-esteem, you know? And so once you damage a person's self-esteem, then that person is more reluctant to be have a positive view of authority, and they are, and to me, more inclined to retreat back inside themselves. And I understand this concept. I know what this is all about. The American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, postulates that the treatment of minority students may be related to the school system's increased emphasis on standardized testing. The ACLU writes, as a result of test-based accountability regimes, such as the No Child Left Behind Act, schools have an incentive to push out low-performing students to boost overall test scores. One study found the schools meted out longer suspension to students who perform poorly on standardized tests than a high-performing student for similar offenses. The punishment gap grew substantially during the period of time when standardized tests were administered, indicating that the school may use selective discipline. Get that? May use selective discipline to keep low-performing students out of the school during testing days. You know, I have so many opinions, but I'll go ahead and continue to read this. Nashville school administrators say the numbers are unacceptable. The numbers are still higher than we would like, clearly, Paul Shangas of Nashville's Metro Schools told WSMV-TV. Let me say that again, WSMV-TV. In an effort to reduce the numbers of suspended students in Nashville, students who are suspended are being sent to twilight schools, which are run from 2:30 p.m. to 6 p.m., which causes extra strain and pain on the parents. You know what I'm saying? These programs are suspended to give kids, or are supposed to give kids, a chance to learn in an alternative environment. So there you go with more segregation. I mean, this is institutionalized segregation. Slick. It's a slick move. This year, suspensions of black boys are down 25% in the Nashville School District and 50% at some of the offending schools. However, the ACLU points out alternative programs are not the answer either, because their standards are often not the same. The ACLU writes, in growing numbers of jurisdictions, struggling students are sent involuntarily to disciplinary alternative schools. These alternative schools, sometimes run by private for-profit companies, are not subject to traditional school accountability standards such as minimum hours and curriculum requirements, and frequently fail to provide meaningful education services to the students who need them most. Some lack even the basics, such as teachers and textbooks, and many do not offer high school diplomas upon graduation. So Woods also has valid concerns about Nashville's use of alternative schools. The problem with some of these alternatives, like Twilight Schools, is once you take the children out of the regular curriculum and regular classes, you're in a slippery downhill slope, he said. These are the kids who are going to be dropouts, potentially. These are the kids who are not going to be able to find a job. These are the kids we're failing. Okay? Now, I'm still reading here, quote, now, I don't mean to say some kids don't deserve discipline. Of course, they do at times, Woods added. But to do this kind of massive disruption of particular groups in our entire school system is not to realize, hey, maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe we are doing something wrong here. There's no excuse for that, he told WSMV-TV. Teachers must learn to deal with students equally. They must also seek to understand why a student is acting out. Immediate suspension is not always the answer. Zero tolerance policies are counterproductive. In some more wealthy school districts, a child with behavioral problems might be sent for special counseling. Sometimes home troubles or learning disabilities can be the spark for the student to act out. Black parents also need to take more active roles in educating their children. Your job does not end with just feeding, clothing, sending a child to school. Children need to be helped with their homework and held accountable for studying and their grades. Teachers and administrators get paid to find ways to help students. Let me reiterate that. Teachers and administrators get paid to find ways to help students be the best that they can be. They can't do that if entire groups are sitting at home. Anyway, that's the end of that little story, and I hope that that some of you had a chance to hear what I was reading there. And that's another topic that I wanted to get to. And I don't, let's see, wait, where am I? Here? No, here. There we are. Anyway, if you have any input, if you'd like to give us a call, please do at 347-945-7040. And in the meantime, I'll be looking at some other issues. I don't know, who is that caller? Who is that guest, 2924? I think the guest can type in the chat room. But anyway, we appreciate you visiting the chat site. School suspensions. And hopefully in the future we'll get a chance to look at some things. I would like to really get into the cap and trade. And I know that'll probably be boring for a lot of people. But one of the reasons that I want to get into the cap and trade thing is maybe we can demystify it to the point that we all have an understanding of it, so that we all can be more participatory in regard to the political aspects of our society. And if we could be, then just maybe, we could provide some motivation for change in this society. Because otherwise, if we don't do it, the only thing that you have a choice to either to enjoy the current situation that you're involved in, you have a choice to change it, because you definitely can't leave it. And those are the only three choices that I know of. You can involve yourself in changing it, or accepting it, or leaving it. And I plan to be here. This is where I was born. This is where I was raised. And so I need to, and I want to, and I will do the best that I can to take a stand to protect those people out here in this environment, because I will do the best that I can to provide any support that I can for individuals who are striving to improve their situations. And that's one of the opportunities I feel is available with this medium, this Blog Talk Radio medium. And like I said, there are a lot of other programs that I've had a chance to sit in on and watch and see some of the more expert individuals carry out their tasks as I don't know. I guess I'm sure there are some experts, professionals is what I'm trying. The word I'm looking for that are on Blog Talk Radio. But you know, some of the people on here are just like me, just like you, just individuals who have come to the conclusion that we want to do more than just complain. We want to provide some means of engaging our community, you know, trying to bring together, and hopefully, again, like I say, in the future, there will be an opportunity. I'm not sure. I've approached a lot of people in my spheres, in my realm of involvement, and some of the people feel that it's a positive thing that I'm talking about. And I've met a lot of reluctance, and it could be me. You know, I can say that my personality might not be a personality that would cause a person to be, you know, attracted to me. And so they may, maybe I can stir some ideas up, and then they'll seek their own means of addressing these issues or any issues, or maybe people will go back to, you know, just say, well, dude, that was a good idea. I'm going to go back and play some more music, or I'm going to go back and argue some more, you know, because, I personally had gotten to a point where that, you know, arguing in these chat rooms and name-calling, and I can get pretty weird at times. It's not getting us anywhere, you know. But anyway, there is, let's see, what was this article about? 90% of the world, please pass. Oh, no. That was one that I already had discussed. You know, I'm looking for these articles. And here's one. Yeah, this is the one about the policeman in Seattle. Seattle's Latino community is stung. And this is, I don't know, I can't remember the date that I put this in here. It's stung by a newly released video showing Seattle police officer, Seattle again, the same police department where this young lady was struck. Seattle police officer apparently stomping on a Latino man during a robbery investigation. At El Centro de la Raza, workers gathered Friday to watch the April 17 incident. And this was in April. Let's see, April, May, June, two months ago. Says, I'm disgusted that this would happen to one of our own, because when police officers put a young person, which I'm sure put them down and beat them down on the street, they may as well be beating, you know, all of us down, says Enrique Gonzalez. And you know, I can empathize with that statement. When I see an injustice done to a person, regardless, you know, of their ethnicity and regardless of their cultural background, I feel it. It resonates. It hits a spot in me that suggests that when a person is an authority figure, I mean, that's who you depend on. You know, like the 7-year-old lady, 7-year-old kid that was shot and killed. And you know, these guys continue to get off with this stuff because of that thin blue line junk. Now, to my idea, you can't take a guy that comes from this militia mentality and put a uniform on them and change their heart. What you get, if you take the KKK and you put a police uniform on him, you're going to get a KKK member with a police uniform on. You're not going to change his. It doesn't change his psyche. There's no conversion, or there's no repentance, or there's no feeling that every person should be a part of society and they should be equally represented. That mentality of these guys is pretty much the same. And I don't have a problem with a person's mentality. My problem is when it has an adverse effect on me. That's when I have a tremendous problem with a person's personality. Can you hear me, Denisha? I was wondering, am I getting out here? Can you hear me, guest 2924? I'm sure. I don't know if you can type in the room. And But anyway, I will continue on with this article. It says, this guy says that he was disgusted with what happened because of one of his own. And, you know, they are racially profiled. Then the comments that it just, it's outrageously racist, said the El Centro executive director of let me see, let me go back. El Centro de la Raza, okay, that's it, is a hub and a voice for the Seattle's Latino community. The hate that is going around is unacceptable and should demand more from the police department, said Hilga Magna. They are racially profiled, and then the comments that is just outrageously racist. The comments that were made to this guy as he was being beaten by this policeman. Ortega has a call in to Seattle's interim police chief, John Diaz, can you believe it, who is Latino, and is asking for a response from Mayor Mike McGinn. So this is the same mayor whose police department is involved with this, the little lady, the 17-year-old getting hit by the police department, the policeman in the jaw with his fist. 17-year-old young lady spoke to reporters late Friday. Let me make this clear. Anytime the use of racial slurs, there is no excuse for it in any way, shape, or form, said Diaz. And this, now I'm referring back to the incident with the Latino American who was a who was arrested by the police and wasn't guilty. The chief says he hasn't seen the tape yet because if officers are disciplined, he'll be the one to do it. He says he wants to be careful about how he considers the evidence. Diaz is one of nine candidates for the permanent police chief job who will be meeting with the Citizens Committee on Saturday. So this is the Latinos have had a problem with the police department in Seattle, and now people of African descent are having a problem, and yeah, the Latino Bar Association of Washington, this is some heavy stuff. The Latino Bar Association of Washington called the officers' actions an outrage, and voiced this displeasure that it took 19 days for this information to go public. The Seattle Police Department's three-sentence statement essentially saying it's aware of possible officer misconduct and an internal investigation is underway. It's not a sufficient explanation, said the Latino Bar Association in a press release. You know, when you think about it and you think about what happened with the oil spill in the Gulf, you know, if everybody says this guy that was being grilled before the committee in Washington, that he was vague in his replies, not specific, and really didn't have any solutions to the problem. Now, this is two incidents within a couple months in Seattle, or at least 3 months, and these guys don't have any clue as to why it occurred, what occurred, or how to improve the situation. You know, so where do you go for to get any? Where do you go to get justice? You know, if you can't go to the police department, you know, because the policemen are obviously expressing the views of their superiors. And anyway. Now, here's another issue. Anyway, I tell you what. What we'll do is I'll give out the phone number again. If you get a chance, give us a call here at 347-945-7040. And what I'll do is try to get an article about, you know, the health, your health situation. Because that's one thing that I like to address as well in the program is things that have to do with our health. And one of the things that I discussed earlier a while back had to do with stroke. And that is an extreme concern of mine, is stroke. As a matter of fact, my baby daughter had, she called me earlier today, and we were having a discussion, and she was asking me, what some of the signs of strokes were. And, because she had a concern. And to me, when you find, if you have an opportunity, to save someone's life by having some knowledge or information that you could utilize at that point, either, you recognize the conditions of the potential terrible situation that's occurring, directly what I'm speaking about is a potential stroke. And it would be a sad shame, if we were ever involved in that, that we couldn't provide some assistance for, our loved one or our friend or, maybe just a stranger on the street. And what I found is that some of the information that has to do with detecting and determining stroke, it's fundamental, kind of. It's in a way, it's some things that I think that we really wouldn't want to let get by us. If we had an opportunity to do something to prevent it, the loss of life as a result of a stroke or any other condition, per se. But and I really want to tell you something personal, but I won't do it right now. This is information everyone should know in regard to blood clots / stroke. They now have a fourth indicator for you to make a determination about this. And if you've heard in the past, I hope you'll forgive me. I've addressed this issue before. And if you've heard me address this issue in the past, I hope you'll forgive me for reiterating or hitting on it again. But I think that it's worthwhile, because stroke is really prevalent in, I'd say not only, I started saying the African-American community, but it's a prevalent situation in a lot of communities, And what it talks about, they found a fourth indicator of stroke, and that's the tongue, okay? And they say stroke identification, and this is a story that I've read before, and I hope you'll indulge me with doing this again, because maybe there are some people who didn't have a chance to hear it before who will hear it this time. And maybe if they don't run into a situation, they'll pass the information on to someone else. Or maybe you might even recognize it in your own self. I don't know. I don't know what the situation, how it would manifest itself. But I do know that I think, what I do know is this information could be beneficial for you. And here's the scenario. During a barbecue, a friend stumbled and took a little fall. She assured everyone that she was fine. They offered to call paramedics. She said she just tripped over a brick because of her new shoes. They got her all cleaned up and got her a new plate of food. And while she appeared to be a bit shaken up, Ingrid, who's the lady that tripped, went about enjoying herself the rest of the evening. Ingrid's husband called later, telling everyone that his wife had been taken to the hospital at 6 p.m., At 6 p.m., Ingrid passed away. She had suffered a stroke at the barbecue. Had they known how to identify the signs of a stroke, the signs of a stroke, perhaps Ingrid would be with us today. They say some people don't die. They end up in a helpless, hopeless condition instead. It only takes a minute to read this, so I'll go ahead and read this article for you. And what it says is a neurologist says that if he can get to a stroke victim within 3 hours, he can totally reverse the effects of a stroke. Totally. He said the trick was getting a stroke recognized, diagnosed, and then getting the patient medically cared for within 3 hours, which is tough. Now, to recognize a stroke, you thank God for the sense to remember the three steps. Those steps include STR, says read and learn. Sometimes the symptoms of a stroke are difficult to identify. Unfortunately, the lack of awareness spells disaster, because you understood, the neurologist said that if he could get a stroke victim, if he could see a stroke victim within 3 hours of a stroke, that he could potentially save their life and probably really tremendously diminish the damage that the stroke had or the impact on that person's health. The stroke victim may suffer severe brain damage when people nearby fail to recognize the symptoms of a stroke. All right? Stroke, remember the first three letters, STR. It says, now doctors say a bystander can recognize a stroke by asking three simple questions. S is ask the individual to smile. STR, ask the individual to smile. The T is ask the person to speak a simple sentence, to talk. Ask that person to talk and speak a simple sentence coherently. Example given, it's sunny out today. Just a simple sentence. And that is the T. The R is ask the person to raise both their arms. Now, I'm not a medical professional, and I would suggest that you contact a medical professional in regard to, securing information that might be of some benefit to you, but I suggest to you that you might consider these things, and you might ask that individual, that professional, your doctor or your physician's assistant or whomever you might use, about the method STR to determine a stroke, and see if they have any information that would suggest to you that this is correct here. And if it is correct, then it's simple and easy. If you and it's something you can store away, and if you never need it, you never have to try to remember it. It's like CPR, right? S, ask the individual to speak. T, ask the person to talk. Speak a simple sentence coherently. Example given is, it's sunny out today. And the R, ask the person to raise both arms. Then it says, if he or she has trouble with any one of these tasks, call emergency numbers immediately and describe the symptoms to the dispatcher. Now they have a new sign of stroke, and that is that stick out your tongue. The note is, another sign of stroke is this. Ask the person to stick out their tongue. If the tongue is crooked, if it goes to one side or the other, that is also an indication of a stroke. Anyway, that's my little health tip for you, and I hope you never ever have to utilize it. But if you ever find yourself in a situation that you want to do some investigation, you want to check for certain that if a person is being adversely affected by something that would resemble a stroke, then the STR method is a method that I would suggest that you employ. Again, if you have an opportunity, you want to give us a call at 347-945-7040. And I want to thank Denisha and, boy, there's a guest 3531. Don't know who you are, guest 3531, but welcome to the chat room. 35, 31. You're listening to the next phase with Ice and Friends, and I'm Black Ice. That's the nick that I run. And if you see me around, give me a holler. You'll see me from time to time. I go into different venues here on Blog Talk Radio, and you maybe see me around the net. Give me a holler. And if you have any interesting information that you'd like to provide us with, any subjects that you'd like to discuss, any guests that you'd like to recommend, let me give you my an email addy of mine. My email address would be, let me make sure it's blackice, all one word, .1@gmail.com. BLAKICZ .1@gmail.com. And that's if you have a comment or concern, or if you have a subject. Yeah, thanks, 3699 guest. Welcome, and thank you for dropping in. If you have any, if you'd like to recommend that we have a guest or anything that you know who that person might be, give us a call. Let us know. And we'll do our dead level best to try to get them on here to provide some information for you. And as you can tell, I love what I do. I love, I'm an oil field worker, but I love communicating with individuals. I've been involved in communications for a little while, and this is something that is an avocation, and it's something that I really enjoy, and I like community affairs. And I think that, in my opinion, if you see me, don't tell me about how bad it is. Tell me what it is that you would like to do that you think would make it better. Okay? And because I get tired of hearing people continually, we can't do this, and they won't let us do that. And then you say, let's do something about it. And then it gets quiet. It gets uncomfortably quiet. And so, and that's where I say, dang. We could sit in here with each other, and we can gripe and complain, and where will we get? Anywhere? I doubt it. But if you want to do something different, if you have some information that you want to provide to the public, then I suggest to you that this forum is an opportunity for you to do just that. And the way you can contact me here is 347-945-7040. And to tell you the truth, if I had I have some friends that come in from time to time, a couple, three or four friends, ladies down south, the Platinum One Love for You, and I don't know, they're not here, and I understand that. People have different things to do at different points in time. Black Magic Woman, Honey Drip Peach, Legacy for Life. Yeah, these are people, I've invited other people, and no doubt in my mind, I don't do a lot of advertising, and I definitely don't do a lot of begging. But I will ask you, and if you have a desire to be associated, and some people may or may not, for whatever reasons they feel, then I understand. Don't have a problem with it, and I wish you the best. But I'm going to do my little part. It's a big old ocean, and I just drop one drop in it at a time. That's what I do. I drop one little tiny drop in at a time, because when I get out of this world, I want to make sure that I'm totally tapped out. I don't want anything to be left. If they donated my body to science, I don't want them to be able to find one moving part. I want everything I want to have used all of my moving parts and my brain and everything. I just don't see, knowing that things where we're having some problems, and then, not putting forth some effort to do something about it, and accept the gripe continually. No. That's not me. But, you're welcome to give us a call, 347-945-7040. And we have a little while longer here on the net. Let's see. I don't know what this is. I found this, and I'm not really sure. This, enlightened teachers have been quietly using alternative texts for years. Many use the People's History of the United States, authored by Howard Zinn. Those enlightened teachers who sometimes put their jobs on the line ought to be applauded and protected for the misinformed citizens of some school boards. The biased views expressed in many textbooks have been an issue as a way have been an issue. Let's see, the biased view expressed in many textbooks has been an issue as way back as the 1950s. But in the 50s, too few questioned what was being taught. You know, the United States never was the way it was portrayed in textbooks. And do you agree or disagree with that? Because I can remember when I was going to school, I'm going to tell you how old I am. When I was going to school, we had segregated schools, and I'm sure a lot of you can't relate to that. But we got school books that came from the school system that had names completely filled out in them, And those books were tattered and torn. And we would sign our names down at the bottom. And, you know, the teachers that we had, they taught us to be proud of the books that we had. They would have us to make book covers and cover those books and, you know, treat them with pride because they knew that that information would be valid and valuable for us at some point in time. And, you know, I went to a segregated school until the 7th grade is when we integrated schools in Texas, where I was. And when we went to schools, when we went to the integrated schools, and you know, that was another thing that's really strange to me. You know, the movement of the 60s toward, you know, having an equal access to everything, and what they offered was integration. I don't need integration. All you have to do is equally apply the law, and I'll do fine. You know, and what happened was it disallowed a lot of people to advance because we went to school, and it was all about people approving of us, approving of, and I'm sure that it was difficult for a lot of people, because my grandmother and my great-grandmother raised me till I was about 14, right? Now, I can remember going to homes with my grandmother, and she would get on her knees with a razor blade, you know, a razor blade, like you shave with, that was in one of those razor blade holders. And I would get down and help her, and I was a young guy, but we would scrape, hey, Teach, how you doing? Give me a call, Teach, right quick. I know you got a minute. Give me a call, Teach. 347-945-7040. And let me check and make sure. If you give me a call, I wanted to hear your little lovely voice online and everything like that. So, hold on. I'm communicating in the chat room with one of my lovely friends. Denise is a beautiful lady, wonderful friend. I mean, lovely lady, wonderful friend. Teach Pepsi, lovely lady, wonderful friend. I guess the 3531 don't know you. You know, you're welcome. Anybody, if you want to give me a call, we'll get it on here for another few minutes. We got another few minutes to go. Okay. Hey, Teach Pepsi. Anyway, I'll keep checking. If you're going to give me a call, I'll put you on, and you didn't, so. But anyway, I was saying that my grandmother would get on her knees. You know, a lot of people, they think I'm joking. I'm telling you seriously. And see, I saw both sides of that dollar bill. I saw that side where they did fine. They did okay. These were women. I was raised by women. They did good. And they worked hard, very, very hard. And like I said, we'd scrape that yellow wax off the floor, and then she'd mop it real good, and then she'd wax it. And I didn't understand all I was seeing, but I understood enough to know that was some hard work. Now, what I was getting at is that those were the jobs that were available. There weren't factory jobs. There weren't supervisor jobs. There weren't, store clerk jobs. Those jobs were menial. But those people, I didn't understand. They were self-employed. You know what I'm saying? They were self-employed. Okay, thanks, Teach. You're on hold? Please. Sorry. Dang it. Now I got you coming. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Turn down the volume down on your speakers.
Got it.
Because it's a lag. And you can talk, turn your speakers down. Can you hear me on the phone now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Oh, I'm doing all right. Thank you so much. And I'm just very grateful that Denisha dropped in and you dropped. I wish Denisha would give me a call, but she won't do it. Anyway, let me get this number out, 347-945-7040. Did you have a comment about anything that I said so far or anything that you'd like to say? And do you want to divulge what your vocation is or whatever? Because your anonymity is going to be protected.
Well, I am a school teacher. Been teaching school for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen a lot of changes in the system. I am currently in Chicago. So I've done public school and private school. So I know both ends of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen many things in my career.
I know.
And so I was just listening to you describe what you experienced as a student.
Mm-hmm.
But I've experienced it going to private school as a kid in elementary, but then I went to public high school.
Right.
And so I've had the vast of it. So I've
seen
quite a bit myself.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say anything else. Go ahead.
I thought she was going to get a chance to come through. I mistakenly gave her wrong nom de plume earlier. Lady Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me and I don't like that. I really want to quote her so bad, Teach. Let me quote her for you, because I was hoping she'd come through and she was on last week, I think. Legacy was on last week, Teach.
Oh, was? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I he's busy. He's out there he's beating the bushes, trying to make some money, and I understand he's in the websites and stuff, and I really want to get him back. There's some other guys I invited and whatnot, and because I wanted to because not only do I want to talk about how to improve social things, I want to talk about how to improve us financially,
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, what I was going to tell you is what Lady Lily told me is that I was giving her this story about, the schools and everything, and I could reiterate what it was that I was, what stimulated that part of the conversation was, I was telling her about an incident, and I'm sure out of 20 years that you can relate to this, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
where an individual told me in another state, told me that there was a situation where that a teacher came to them, and it was an Anglo teacher, and this person that they came to was a person of African descent, and said that they were having a problem with a child, and it was real melodramatic. Oh, I got a problem with this kid, and he done it, did it, did it. And so the teacher went down to find out what was going on, and when they went into the classroom, the little boy of African descent, and what, people call black, but I say, black American, because people detach themselves. But anyway, he had tears And she asked the teacher, the African-American teacher asked her, what's the matter? She didn't give me my prize, whatever it was. I didn't get my prize, you know. Like, what happened? And the Anglo teachers, well, he didn't do this and that. And so every other kid in the classroom had gotten the prize except this kid. So she said, well, he said, I did turn my work in. And she said, no, you didn't. I didn't find it. So, you know, the African-American teacher said, well, let's look all over your desk and everything. So they pawed through and looked through and found the little boy where he turned in his work. And so, you know, she, you know, and here's what the Anglo teacher started doing was, well, I got so many kids, I can't really keep up. You know, and all it would have taken at that point, that kid was so damaged and so fragile to me, was just to say, I'm sorry, I overlooked it, you know, and it would have done so much to repair this kid. But anyway, as I related this story to Lady Lily, she suggested to me that she was involved in a situation when she was going to segregated schools, how the teachers, black teachers, would take care of the girls, right? And so I always was thinking from a child's perspective, looking at the teacher. And she said that the reason that the thought she had was that that teacher looked at those girls in that class and saw herself in them. And I was like, whoa, I had never thought about that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, my mom was a teacher. My mom taught almost near 50 years, maybe more. I can't remember. But, you know, knowing my mom, she saw students. She didn't see, you know, how is that, teach, that people of African descent can see students and not necessarily see students' colors, but they just see people who want to learn. How do you get to that point?
I think when kids sit before you, they come to you innocent until you're taught the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you accept them for who they are as individuals when they come before you, so that's why you see them as students and not as color. Because the color issue doesn't come into play until somebody teach them about it.
Right.
Really. Mm-hmm. Really. They love you. I've been in school where I have Caucasian students. They love me just like they love everybody else.
Right.
Until somebody says to them that there is a difference, they don't see
right.
it.
Right.
You know, they don't see that
right.
when they're small. You know, they love you and hug you like they hug mommy, you know.
Right.
Because that's who you are at the time to them.
Right.
You're their protector. You watch over them and stuff until their parents pick them up.
Right.
That's how you see them. It's not until something is implanted in them that they start to see you as different. Somebody at the house calls you a black teacher, you know, and they go, well, what's the difference? You know what I mean? They don't know until
right.
somebody makes a difference to them.
Mm. You know, that's, you know, it really you know, and you know, and you're in Chicago, and you run into this situation. I'm in Texas, and I've run into this situation. And you know, this thing can be it's exponential, the amount of incidents that occur and the damage. You know, I read an article earlier, and I'll give you this article because I want you to take a look at it. And Miss Obadiah gave me this article. And it's about, have you seen it? It's about the school system in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, so 50% of the kids have been suspended for being black boys.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know.
I can believe that.
I'm sorry?
I can believe that.
Right.
I can truly believe that.
Right.
It's because when you come out of college as a teacher, they don't prepare you
right.
to deal with issues.
Right.
They make teaching sound like this glamorous thing, and it is not.
Right.
It is not.
Right.
And for a white teacher coming into a black situation who doesn't know anything about black children, it's going to be difficult.
Right.
And I hate to say it, many Caucasian teachers, females, do not understand black boys.
Right, right.
At least
you know,
not
you know,
they get grown,
oh,
you know. Then that's a whole other topic.
You know, and you know
okay.
what? If you May I invite you again to come back?
Sure.
Would you please? I mean, seriously. And because I get into any other issue, but this particular issue is very important to me. And one of the reasons again is that those kids, my grandkids, are vulnerable. They're dependent. They're just looking with open eyes. They don't know that a person has come up in an environment where that they were taught that other people were substandard, or inferior, or subordinate, or whatever.
They were better. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And what you find is, in my opinion, when it's boys especially, that's competition for their boys' jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of survival. You know?
Always want to label them and have them tested for problems.
Right.
There's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with that boy. He's
mm-hmm.
acting like a boy.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what?
American boys are a little bit more active, and you have to find different ways to teach them.
You know, they can't
sit in a straight row. They need to
right.
be in groups. They need to socialize. They need to stand up sometime. You know, there's so many things they need to do to
mm-hmm.
get that energy out. And because the school system has taken away recess and all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
these kids don't
mm-hmm.
have no outlet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to lash out at you.
Yeah. Now I want to go from there to the story about the young lady in Seattle, Washington. Okay? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know the one I'm talking about that got hit by the police officer?
Oh, yeah. I saw that video.
All right. Now, here's my only point, is the same mentality of that officer is the same mentality of a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember on CNN the other week where they had those students look at those cartoon pictures or whatever you call them?
Okay. And what's the bad kid? What's the good kid?
Exactly.
What kids you want in your classroom, what kids you don't? Mm-hmm. It was shameful. It was absolutely shameful.
Did you see that mother that was a teacher, and
mm-hmm.
her, and she was looking at her child?
Yep.
You know,
the teacher has to make the difference.
Right.
The teacher can change that whole thought process. I'm telling
but
you, they can change that whole thought process.
You know what, Teach? Here's what my contention is. And, you know, you can see if it's relevant, irrelevant, or whatever. Is that Anglo teacher has to go back into their society, their social environment. And in their social environment, there are uncles or cousins or brothers or friends or neighbors who have an extreme view. And in order to not be ostracized or not be criticized or not be, eliminated from certain social groups, even in church, that teacher has to adhere to a social philosophy, which includes causing problems for people of African descent. And what kills me is that these guys, they can't see themselves that way. You know, I'm sorry.
Some teachers, it's just
mm-hmm.
a job.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
And so when they go home to where they live at, their
mm-hmm.
family members say, don't get all caught up in them African children. You know,
right.
they always said they stupid. And done.
Right.
So, you know, just go in. This is
right.
just your job, teaching what you
right.
can and whatever you can. Oh, well.
Right. You know.
It's just like anybody. I give my, I give money during Christmas and Easter to causes, but all during
right.
the year I don't do nothing. That doesn't make you a good person.
Right, exactly.
Twice a year to do something.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I do. And that is the escape route that a lot of people utilize. And you know, you've been in those chat rooms that I've been in, and you've heard some of the vitriol that you know, and I'm telling you, I'm one that I'll put it out there myself. But, I mean, you've heard some of the responses. You know, I get this negative response like, get a job, get off of welfare. And these guys have no clue what I do. But their mentality is acceptable in their realms, in their mm-hmm. social environments. And as a matter of fact, it may be even prevalent and dominant. And so that dictates and determines how the teachers, whomever they are, of whatever the position, it may be teachers, it may be firemen, it may be doctors, it may be nurses, it may be whatever their station is in life, that has an impact and an effect on the way they deal with people who they are providing a service to.
Mm-hmm. All of it.
You know? And so, you know, my point, and this is the reason that I do this, what I'm doing here, is because I can stay in a chat room 24/7, and all I'm going to do is circular. It goes around and around in a circle. We all leave, and that's the end of it. You know, and so I'm suggesting that there has to be, another phase, another opportunity to something that's instructive, something that presents a different perspective, because I don't have to adhere to producers and directors in the dominant corporate media, you know, like so many of these guys. And I'm not invested like these guys. These guys, Chris Matthews and Wolf Blitz and John King's and Todd, you know, all these guys, they naturally they don't have an affinity for people of African descent.
That's why I commend my brother Roland Martin so much.
Oh, love that brother. I wish you hook him up.
He is a member of my church. You know,
right.
And I see him when he comes to church all the time because I sit right
mm-hmm.
near him. And I always tell him he's doing a great job. Keep it up, you know.
Right.
Keep doing what you're doing. You know, keep letting your voice be heard, letting our voice be heard.
Right.
Because somebody has to say something.
You know. They censor him, Teach. See, you know, used to, you
oh,
remember
yeah,
they
when they cut him off. They'll
cut
oh, him
yeah.
off. Oh, yeah.
They definitely
will. He'll try
all right.
to tell you something. They'll tell him there's no more time, you know.
tell him. He'll come here and kick, you know. But ask him if you would. I was going to mention this to you. If I could just, you know, communicate with a brother like that, because a brother would eat me up alive. You know, I'm not educated, but I enjoy what I do, and I have fun doing
it. He has a way for you to follow him on Twitter, and he has an email address and all of that
okay.
can contact him.
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to teach me how to Twitter.
Him.
I don't know how to Twitter.
But I can give you the, at least you can still go to his blog page, and he always
I do
that. Blog. Mm-hmm.
You got to give me that blog page because I want to go check him out
mm-hmm.
because I admire that guy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, and here's what I suggest is this. Did you remember when BET used to have the news people, which I disagreed because I knew that they would, they seemed to me to be manipulated by their producers and directors and so forth. They couldn't address issues as in-depthly as I think, and with the opinion, you know what I'm saying, the being
mm-hmm.
as candid as they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Then they took that away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dispersed.
But have you seen TV One allows Roland Martin to have his own show?
We have TV One here in the hinterlands out here in Texas? Absolutely not. They choke us out here.
He has a show called Watch One or something. He said
mm-hmm.
the president on there. He's had a few things on there.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I saw was when he went on the Tom Joyner cruise for HBCUs.
Right, right.
He interviewed all the people on there. I mean, he has his own forum. He does.
You know, but see, what I'm trying to tell you, listen to me real good. Out here, they starve us, and it's intentional. Because if you disallow people information, then in all probability you can control their thought process. If you listen to the dominant culture, the dominant media culture,
mm-hmm.
the corporate media, and you listen to the hillbilly Joe Scarboroughs, because I don't like him at all, and I don't like that little fake that little fake woman that he has on there, that Mika. And you know, that, yeah, I'm looking at five white people sitting here talking about black issues, talking about a black, you know, where is the brother and the sister, or
mm-hmm.
three or four?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see that on there. You don't see.
His cohort, what's her name?
Mika?
O'Brien? Is it O'Brien?
You talking
Soledad.
About it with
Soledad
Joe Scarborough?
No, Soledad O'Brien is on CNN.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, CNN, you
she
backed
also
it. Okay.
Was on the Tom Joyner cruise. She went, too.
I like her pretty
both
good.
Both of them went on, and both
I
of
like
them
her.
At a time when they were talking and interviewing people that was on the cruise
right.
about different things that's happening in the political world. And it was really, really good. If you ever get a chance, I hate that you all don't have it, because it was very good.
Well,
it was
he,
awesome.
I'm not the only. I mean, you know, I'm telling you, and this is what I say, you know, and this is what's so interesting to me, and this is what's so beautiful to me, is that you are in Chicago, Illinois, the one of the meccas, so to speak, the, you know, metropolitan, and I'm out here in the country, and this is what's so beautiful is that I had a chance, and I'm grateful to have had a chance to meet you, and I really appreciate knowing you. And, you know, a little bit that I've learned about, you know, and tell your mom, God bless, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the people that I've met, the people that I choose to associate with online and so forth, I am so humble, honored, and so appreciative and so grateful to have met you guys. Because, you know, you get to a point you think you're the only one out here.
You're not the only one.
You know? And so I'm saying, like, you know, there are a lot of people who just have given up and said, the heck with this or that. And I'm suggesting that if that's the way you feel, I really don't have any conversation or communication for you. But if you feel that there is something that we can do, then let's do it. You know, let's lay it all out. And little lady, let me tell you what, we got about 4 minutes to go here. But I am so grateful. Denisha, again, and guest 3531. And Teach Pepsi, thank you, thank you, thank you. And whomever else may be out there listening, thank you for listening at least. And these things are archived, so if you get a chance, you want to listen to them again. And they are going to get better, hopefully, in the future. This is number 5, Teach.
Okay.
The fifth. You're the fifth. You helped me. But yeah, and let me get a number out again. If you want to call it, 347-945-7040. And this is the next phase with Ice and Friends. And this is a friend of mine. I don't know her personally, but I met her on the net, and I think she is an absolutely spectacular young spirit. And I just so much appreciate her, as well as my dear friend Denisha, as well as I don't know guest 3531, but thank you for joining us. But, Teach, you go ahead, and is there anything else you want to say? You feel perfectly welcome to do so.
Oh, no, I just want to thank you for the opportunity. And
please.
You just continue to do what you do. And hopefully someone's listening, and you're giving them another way to view things if they only
exactly.
view things one way.
Right.
And that's a good thing. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, you know, it's alternative view. And see, your perspective, from a professional and an educational perspective and a social, is so needed. Because, you know, to me, one thing, when I was president of the NAACP, fortunately, way back in the 80s, in the little town that I was in, I ran into a lot of single female head of households who had children. And back in those days, in the 80s, really, the parents were dissuaded from being involved with their children. You know what I'm talking about? By the school system.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They 20 seconds. Hey, Teach, let me tell you, thank you so much.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you online here in a little bit.
All righty.
God bless you and Mom and everybody up that way. And Denisha, thank you. God bless y'all. Guest 31, 3531. And I'll holler at you in a little bit. This has been the next phase with Ice and Friends, Blog Talk Radio. And we'll be on, I hope, next Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m., but I may be out of town. And I want to invite you to, it's Black Ice, blakicz.1@gmail.com. Send us some information. If you want to hear a guest that we might be able to contact or anything like that, please do. Feel free to do so. And join us again sometimes. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. You have a good night. Have a good week. God bless you and yours.